الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah who has made it possible for us to assemble here this evening to continue our studies in this book entitled Umdatul Ahkam of Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi. Today is the ninth day of Rajab 1443, which is equivalent to today's what? It is equivalent to 11th of February 2022. In our last class, we stopped at the hadith of Uqbah bin Amir, where he said, "Inna ahaqqa shurut an tuqu bihi mastahzaltu bihi al-qulub." Allahu Akbar. That's last hadith we read. So, inshallah, that hadith was talking about fulfilling conditions, alright, in marriage. Okay, when you want to marry somebody and the person makes conditions to be fulfilled for the marriage to be conducted, and you agree to those conditions, then you have to fulfill those conditions. That was what we discussed in that hadith. The next hadith, is the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhumah. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن نكاح الشغار. عبد الله بن عمر narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has prohibited the marriage of a shigar. What do we mean by a shigar? He explained it. He said, والشغار أن يزوج الرجل ابنته على أن يزوجه الآخر ابنته وليس بينهما صداق. This is the meaning of a shigar. That is, أن يزوج الرجل ابنته على أن يزوجه الآخر ابنته. Meaning, for a man to marry his daughter to another man on the condition that that other man also marries his own daughter. وليس بينهما صداق. And there will be no dowry in between them. Do we understand now? This was a practice that was common in the pre-Islamic era. Right, days of Jahiliyyah among the Arabs. Somebody will come to you and say, okay, I have a daughter, I will marry her to you. You to marry your daughter to me. And they will just exchange their children like that. And they will not pay any dowry. This type of marriage is prohibited in Islam. Why? Because it is an act of injustice to the girls that have been married out. Okay, in Islam, Islam makes it a must that when you are marrying a girl, you must give her dowry. Alright, Allah says in the Quran, وَآتُ النِّسَىٰ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا. Okay? That you should give women their sadaq, alright, their dowry. So, for people to come together and organize such a marriage whereby the girls involved are being deprived of their dowry, then it is an act of injustice to those girls. And that's why the Sharia prohibits it. Okay? So any exchange, not necessarily daughter, even if it is sister, if somebody comes and says, let me marry my younger sister to you, you to marry your younger sister to me, and there is no dowry in between them, just this exchange, this is also prohibited in Islam. This is also prohibited. Likewise, if they are to make a dowry, which in essence is not dowry, they are trying to play on the Sharia. For example, if somebody comes and says, let me marry my younger sister to you, you pay me a dowry of 50,000. Me too, you too, you marry your younger sister to me, I'll pay you a dowry of 50,000 naira. It is still haram, because at the end of the day, nothing has been paid. You understand? He gives him 50,000 naira and he collects 50,000 back, and then they exchange their sister. This is also haram. You understand? However, if there will be prescribed dowry for the girl,
okay, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong for me to marry my relative to you and you also marry your relative to me on the condition that we both give sadaqah, dowry that will be given to the girls involved. And if the girls involved are willing, we shall come to meet another hadith in front now where you cannot marry a girl until she gives her consent. So if there is full consent from the girls involved and there is a dowry given to them and they agree, then there is nothing wrong with such a marriage. But if there is not, there is no such thing, then it becomes haram. That's what the hadith is talking about. The next hadith is the hadith of Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن نكاح المتعة يوم خيبر وعن لحوم الحمر الأهلية. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith prohibited the marriage of muta. Muta means temporary marriage. Okay, that is نكاح المتعة. Temporary marriage for the sake of enjoyment. Okay, it's a situation whereby a man and a woman will agree that let us marry each other for 1 month. After 1 month, the marriage is terminated and they both agree to that. Okay, that is what we call muta. Muta can be done for 1 month, it can be done for 3 days, it can be for any, it can even be for a few hours. Alright, according to those that are doing it. All that is required is for them to have an agreement with the girl. The man and the woman have an agreement and a particular period is specified. So as soon as that period elapses, the marriage automatically becomes terminated. There is no need for any talaq, any divorce. Alright, the expiration of the time automatically terminates the marriage. Okay, this is called nikahu al-muta. Now, this particular type of marriage was permissible in Islam during the time of the Prophet. Alright? It was a practice among Arabs and the Prophet allowed it. Okay? But then it was in extreme conditions. Usually, whenever companions go out on jihad, definitely when they are going on jihad, they are not going to go with their wives. So when they go and stay in another land for long, okay, and they are not with their wife, instead of them to end up committing fornication, they were engaging in nikah al-mut'ah, okay. But then it has a lot of negative consequences, okay, because when you engage in temporary marriage with a lady for 1 month, after 1 month the marriage is terminated. What if she becomes pregnant? Who will father that child? Do you understand? Who will father that child? At the end of the day, women will be giving birth to children that they don't even know who the father is. Because the woman can engage with this person. After 1 month, she terminates. She marries another person for another 2 months. She terminates. She marries another person for another 3 months, like that. So when she finally conceives, who will be the owner of that child? So it has a lot of negative consequences. That was why the Prophet prohibited it. As in this hadith, Naha an nikah al muta yawma khaybar. The Prophet prohibited it during the day of Khaybar. The battle of Khaybar took place in the 7th year after Hijrah, as I've said several times here. Okay? So during that particular battle, people were doing it, but because of the negative consequences, the Prophet now prohibited it. Okay? However, during the conquest of Mecca, the conquest of Mecca was in which year? Which year was the conquest of Mecca? 8th year. It was in the 8th year after its Hijrah. That was when the conquest of Mecca took place. Alright? The Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place in the 6th year after Hijrah. The Battle of Khaybar took place in the 7th year after Hijrah. And the conquest of Mecca took place in the 8th year after Hijrah. Now, during the conquest of Mecca, okay, because the companions also left Medina for a very long time and stayed in Mecca for long, some of them were forced to go into the Nikah al-Muta again. The Prophet gave permission for it for just some few periods during that particular conquest, Then he prohibited it again. And after that period, he prohibited it finally. Okay, there was no other report. There was no any other report again where the Prophet permitted nikahu al-muta. Do you understand? So why am I saying this? Because today, virtually all Muslims are in agreement that temporary marriage is haram, except the Shiites. Okay? All the four school of thought, Hanafiya, Malikiya, Shafi'iya, Hanabila, all of them are in agreement that nikah al-muta is haram. But the Shiites have continued to practice it up till this very day. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why you see other sects of Islam are against the Shiites, because their teachings are against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, if you quote this kind of hadith to a Shiite and say nikah al-muta was made prohibited in the seventh year after Hijrah, he may show you some narrations indicating that some companions practiced it in the eighth year. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I'm mentioning this, for it not to be confused. Yes, it was prohibited in the seventh year. In the eighth year, for some days, it was made permissible because some companions went into it. Then the Prophet again prohibited it again, all right, for the second time. And after that, there was no any other narration again. As from the eighth year after Hijrah, there is no any other narration indicating that the Prophet permitted nikah al-muta. So nikah al-muta is haram in the last day. Do we understand? In other words, luhum al-humri al-ahliya. Likewise, the Prophet prohibited the consumption of donkeys. Luhum al-ahliya is the meat of a donkey. Okay, in Islam, it is prohibited to eat donkey, but it is permissible to eat horse, and it's also permissible to eat zebra. Okay, but donkeys are prohibited in the Sharia. We don't eat donkeys. Allah Ta'ala alam. The next hadith is the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala. The Prophet said, La tunkahu al-aytimu hatta tustakmar. The Prophet said, you don't marry out al-ayyim. Al-ayyim here refers to a single lady that has been married before. That's what you call al-ayyim. A woman that was previously married but is no longer with her husband, either because the husband is dead or because she has been divorced. Okay, so if you as a father, you have a daughter that was once married, but now she's no longer married, she's now back to your house, we refer to her as what? Al-ayyim. Now such a lady, the Sharia says, you don't marry her out without consulting her. Do you understand? You cannot say because you are her father, you have authority over her, you will just marry her out to whoever you want. No. Islam says, La tunkahu al-ayyimu hatta tustakmar. You do not marry out a single lady that has been previously married before. You don't marry such a lady out without consulting her. In our side, وَلَا تُنْكَمُ الْبِكْرُ حَتَّى تُسْتَأْذَلْ. Likewise, you don't marry out a virgin. Al-Bikr here is your daughter that has not yet been married before. Okay? Now, you don't marry her out also until you seek her consent. Hatta to start that, you have to seek her consent as well. Come, the companions ask the Prophet, because they know that as for Al-Ayyim, she's already experienced in marital affairs. She can easily voice out and say, I want this person or I don't want this person. There's nothing to be shy about. She has the experience. But as for a young girl that has never been married before, she may be shy to express her consent. And that was why the companions asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, وَكَيْفَ إِذْنُهَا? How will she give consent? Because they know that she's not likely to talk. The Prophet said, قَالَ أَنْ تَسْكُتَ. For her to be silent. When you tell her that I want you to marry so-so person, do you agree to marry him? And she keeps quiet. Okay? Scholars say, if she keeps quiet, that is an indication of her consent. But even at that, she's expected, you are expected to give her some days. Alright? If she remains silent for some days without voicing her rejection, either to her mother or to her sister or to anybody around her. Alright, then it is understood that she agreed. Alright, but she's shy, that's why she cannot come out and say it. Okay? So if she gives, if she's silent, she does not openly reject, and she does not say that to anybody, then we assume that she has accepted that proposal. So the prophet is saying that you don't marry out your daughter like that until you seek their consent. Do you understand? As for the one that I said, the divorcee, alright, she's already experienced, so she will easily talk. But as for the one that is not yet married, if she expresses consent, fine. And if she keeps quiet, then we take her silence to mean her acceptance as well. We take her silence to mean her acceptance. When you marry out these two categories of girls out without their consent, such a marriage is invalid in the Sharia. Alright, that is the most authentic opinion. Such a marriage is invalid. This is because of the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, where a lady came to the Prophet ﷺ informing the Prophet that her father has married her out to a person without her consent. In that hadith, he said, فَخَيَّرَهَا النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning the Prophet gave her the choice to choose whether to go ahead with the marriage or to terminate it. Do we understand? And the father could not do anything. Alright, the Prophet said that he has no right to marry her out without her consent. So the Prophet said to her, if you want to stay in this marriage, fine. And if you don't agree, we terminate the marriage right now. When the Prophet said that, she now said, I agree. You understand? Yes. So why did she come to the Prophet? She said she wanted to prove to her father that he has no right to marry her out without her consent. And once that was established to her father, she accepted to remain in the marriage. So based on this hadith, it is clear that when you marry out a lady out without her consent, or that, and she does not agree, then that marriage is invalid in the Sharia. It was a very common practice among our local people. They were marrying out their children without their consent. They thought they were doing righteous deeds. They thought doing that was highly rewarding. Do you know why? Because they were misinterpreting another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were misinterpreting the hadith where the Prophet said that if a person dies, all his deeds have become terminated except three things. What are those three things? Sadaqatu jariya. What is the meaning of sadaqatu jariya? Yes, a charity that will continue even after you. That's what we mean by sadaqatun jariya. You know, the word jariya in Arabic language can mean a young girl. Do you understand? In Arabic language, jariya can be used to refer to a young girl. So those people, when they say sadaqatun jariya, they mean give a young girl out in sadaqa. Do you understand now? That was how they misinterpreted the hadith. And so it became a very common practice among many local people around. Do you get it? To them, they are working with this hadith, but this is a very wrong interpretation of the hadith. Sadaqa to Jariya means, here means a sadaqa that will continue to exist even after your death. So it is haram to marry out a girl without her consent. However, scholars say, it is permissible to marry a girl that has not, you see, when the Prophet says you should seek consent, this indicates that the girl is mature, isn't it? She's mature. That's why she knows what it means to give consent. But supposing she's underage, let's say she's 6 years old. You know, she doesn't even know anything about marriage in the first place. So can you marry her out at that age? You know, it's practice is done. First, that you marry her out at that age, but she will not go to the husband's house. Right. She will remain in your house till she attains the age of puberty. She becomes mature, then the husband will now come and pick her. Is this permissible in the Sharia? Islam makes this permissible for one person alone, that is the father alone. Okay? Only a father has the right to give out his daughter to another man in marriage when she's still underage. All right, on the condition that when she now becomes of full age, the husband will come and pick her. All right, besides the father, nobody has this right again. So if a father of a lady, of a girl, has died, and you, the uncle, you are the one training the girl now, okay? You know, you automatically become her wali, isn't it? You are the one that has the right to marry her out. You cannot marry her out without her consent, okay? And you don't have the right to marry her out at the tender age. Islam gives this permissibility to just a father alone. Why? Because Islam assumes that as a father will not give out his daughter to somebody that will harm her. Alright? It is expected that a father will love his daughter and will want the best for her. So if such a marriage is not good for her, a father, a responsible father will not do it. Do we understand? Uh-huh. So, and that's why Islam permits a father to do it. And that was exactly what happened. The basis of this ruling is the story of the Prophet himself. When he married Aisha at the age of 6. Right, Abu Bakr married Aisha out to the Prophet while she was underage. She does not even know what marriage is all about. Do you understand? And she remained with Abu Bakr until she became matured. Then she was now taken to the Prophet's house. Okay, so for such a thing to happen and the Prophet approves of it, shows that it is permissible for a father to do that. But besides the father, like I said, no other person, any other wali of a woman, either the uncle or the brother or any other person, does not have a right to marry out an underage girl until she becomes fully matured and she gives her consent. This is the position in the Sharia. Allahu Ta'ala alam. So, the next hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Alat. Aisha narrated, she said, Ja'at imra'atu rifa'ata al-Quradi. Ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha said, the wife of Rifa'atu al-Quradi, the wife of this man, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala, she said, Kuntu inda Rifa'ata al-Quradi. I used to be the wife of this man, Rifa'ata al-Quradi. Fatallakani. Then he divorced me. فَبَتَّ طَلَاقِي And he made my divorce irrevocable. Meaning he divorced her for the third time. That's the irrevocable divorce, isn't it? If it's one, she can still go. If it's two, she can still go. But when it becomes three, it becomes irrevocable. Until she marries another person, he's divorced, and divorced again, then she cannot come back to the previous husband. So she says that I used to be the wife of Rifa'a, then he divorced me. And he made my divorce irrevocable, meaning he divorced her for the third time. She said, فَتَزَوَّجْتُ بَعْدَهُ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنِ زُبَيْرِ After him, I went and married Abdurrahman bin Zubayr. Now she's married to Abdurrahman bin Zubayr. She said, وَإِنَّمَا مَعَهُ مِثْلُ هُدْبَةِ الثَّوْرِ Said, but Abdurrahman bin Zubayr only has something that looks like the edge of a clothes. This is a metaphorical statement. Okay, she's trying to say that he is not a complete man. Do you understand? Meaning his manhood is like the edge of a cloth. You know, if you hold the edge of a cloth, it will not stand erect, it will fold. But meaning he cannot have direction. That's what she's trying to say. So she said, فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ When she said that, the Prophet now smiled. وَقَالَ And the Prophet said, أَتُرِيدِينَ أَن تَرْجِعِي إِلَى رِفَاءَ Do you want to go back to Rifa'a? Are you saying this because you want to leave your present husband now? You want to still go back to your previous husband? When the Prophet asked her, she was silent, meaning that's what she wants. The Prophet now said, La. Said, there is no way for you. Hatta تَذُوقِي أُصَيْلَتَهُ وَيَذُوقَ أُصَيْلَتَكِ Alright? The Prophet said, no. You cannot go back until حَتَّى تَذُوقِي أُصَيْلَتَهُ Until you taste his sweetness. وَيَذُوقَ أُصَيْلَتَكِ And he tastes your sweetness. In other words, until your marriage with him is consummated. until there's intercourse between you and him, before you cannot divorce him and go back to your previous husband. قالت عائشة said, وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ عِنْدَهُ. While all these things were happening, Abu Bakr was with the Prophet when the woman came to narrate her story. وَخَالِدْ بُنُ السَّعِيدْ يَنْتَوِرْ أَنْ يُغْمَنْ لَهُ. Khalid ibn Sa'id was by the door, waiting for permission to also talk. Right? He also came for a particular purpose, so he is waiting for this woman to finish, so he will also be given permission to also say whatever he has come to say. So, فَنَادَى. Khalid ibn Sa'id now called on Abu Bakr. He said, يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ. He said, oh Abu Bakr, أَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَى هَذِهِ مَا تَجْهَرُ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Didn't you hear what this woman is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And that was the end of the hadith. This hadith shows that in Islam, when a woman is divorced 3 times, then you cannot go back, she cannot go back to her husband until she marries another man. Allah says in the Quran, حَتَّى تَنْكِهَا زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. Until she marries another man, other than the first husband. Now, this hadith is establishing that when the Prophet, when Allah says, حَتَّى تَنْكِهَا, until she marries, it's not just the marriage alone that is required. Alright? The marriage must be consummated. That's what this hadith is emphasizing. Somebody may interpret that verse there and say, okay, hey, we should marry. So, just marry and divorce again, so that she can go back to her previous husband. No. Alright? The marriage must be consummated. If the marriage is not consummated, then it is if she just marries and divorces, she is still not permissible for the previous husband. Alright? She must marry somebody who will consummate the marriage, then she can now, after the person divorced her again, then she can now go back to the previous husband. This is the condition. Alright, otherwise it is not permissible. Otherwise it is not permissible. That is what this hadith is establishing. Okay? And because this matter is a matter that ordinarily somebody should be shy to say negative. And that was why this companion was wondering how come this woman has the God to say this kind of thing in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was saying that because the Prophet is somebody that they highly respect a lot. Alright, nobody misbehaves in the presence of the Prophet or says things that are shameful or anything like that. Okay, but in Islam, there's no shyness in Islam. Do you understand? There's no shyness in Islam. So, when you have a matter that is worrying you, Islam says you should express yourself. And that was why the woman came and expressed herself, and the Prophet did not condemn her for saying that. Alright, because it's a matter that needs to be addressed. The reason why sometimes you find problem between husband and wife, they invite you as imam to come and settle them. You spend 3 hours trying to settle them. You leave, you think you have settled them. Yes, you have not settled them because they have not addressed the real problem that is between them. Do you know that? Yeah, it happens like that. I have once participated in a reconciliation discussion and we sat down for more than 3 hours trying to reconcile addressing issues. We didn't know that we are just beating around the bush. We have not addressed the real issue of love. Do you understand? Until we left, you know, then the husband called me by the side again and said, this is the real problem. All this one we're saying there is not, we're just beating around the bush. But it's not something that he can say openly in the presence of people. And I said to him, well, the problem is you. Alright, you shouldn't have gathered the whole family to come and discuss this kind of matter. Definitely, you'll not be able to say it. You get it? So that's why one has to be, in issues like this, both husband and wife must express themselves so that the whatever the problem is, it can be addressed. And that was why the Prophet did not condemn her for coming out openly to say that her husband does not have erection. That's just only that she tried to use a metaphorical statement so that she will not come up open like that. But she was able to convey the message. And the Prophet understood. And also the Prophet smiled when she said that. So that's what the hadith is establishing. Now, sorry, and like I said, when you divorce, last week I already addressed the issue of divorce 3 times at the same time, isn't it? Yes. So we said that if the divorce was pronounced 3 times at the same time, then this can be converted to one. okay? But if it was 3 at separate intervals, you divorce her after some time, another 2-3 years, you divorce again, after 2-3 years, you divorce again, then like that, 3 times, then there's no way to reconcile that marriage again until she marries another person. Now, the next hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, qala. He said, من السنة إذا تزوج الذكر على السيد أقام عندها سبعا ثم قسم. It's part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that إذا تزوج الذكر, when you marry a young girl, a virgin, على السيد, you marry her as second wife now, على السيد, you already have a woman at home that is your wife. Okay, you now marry a new bride. He said, "Aqama indaha sab'an." You are to stay with this new bride for 7 days. Summa qassam. Then after that, you now share the days in between them. Do you understand? So Islam allows you to do honeymoon, alright, for 7 days with your new wife. If she is a young girl, she's not a divorcee, alright, she has right to 7 days. Your wife at home does not have the right to say no. From the day of the marriage, you must share days, 2 days with her, 2 days with me. No. Alright, she's entitled to full 7 days. After that, then you now share the days in between them. So what is that? Tazawwaja sayyiba aqama indaha thalathan. But if the woman you marry is a divorcee, or a woman that was previously married and the husband died, or that is sayyib, then aqama indaha thalathan. This one, you are allowed to do honeymoon with her for 3 days. Okay, so you have 3 days with her. So makasam, then after that, you now share the days between her and your previous wife. Qala Abu Kilaba. Abu Kilaba said, وَلَوْ شِيْتُ لَقُلْ If I like, I will say, إِنَّ أَنَسًا رَفَعَهُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى وَسَلَى Anas linked this hadith to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Usually, when the companions narrate, you can see in this hadith now, Anas did not say, قَالَ رَسُولَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Right, he said the Prophet said, he just said mina sunnah, it is part of the sunnah. Usually when the companions express hadith using this kind of expression, it is assumed that they must have heard that ruling from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand? So if whenever we read a hadith where the companion says mina sunnah, it is part of the sunnah, or if the companion says kana ala ahdi rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of the Prophet, this was not the way to do. All these are considered as part and parcel of the Sunnah of the Prophet. Even if they didn't say clearly that the Prophet said, right, because it's assumed that the companions will not lie against the Prophet. Okay? Now, but if a Tabi'i, I hope you know who a Tabi'i is. A Tabi'i is the person that did not meet the Prophet. He only saw the companions. If a Tabi'i says, Nina Sunnah, alright, and he narrates a ruling, then we do not consider it to be a hadith that has a direct chain to the Prophet. Okay, because he did not see the Prophet. When he says mina sunnah, it's possible he's talking about the sunnah of the companion, not the sunnah of the Prophet himself. You get it? So we do not consider such a hadith to have a direct chain to the Prophet. But if the companion says so, we consider it to have a direct chain to Prophet Muhammad. So the hadith is saying that a new wife, if she is a virgin, she has not been married before, you can stay 7 days with her. And if she is a divorcee, you have to stay 3 days with her before you begin to share. You can stay more than that, but with the permission of the previous wife. Do you understand? Because it has become the practice now, especially the rich ones. When they marry a new bride, they travel outside, isn't it? For honeymoon. So they can travel out and spend 2 weeks. You can see 2 weeks already more than 7 days. Right? So if you are going to embark on such a journey, then you must seek the permission of the previous wife. If she permits, okay, then you can stay with the new wife for any additional day that you agree with her. Otherwise, then it's her right that you do not exceed that 7 days. Islam emphasizes justice among wives. Okay, if you have two wives or more and you are not just between them, in your treatment, alright, in the amount, the number of days you stay with them, or how you provide for them, then on self judgment, what's the fundamental of such a person? Allah the Prophet said, "Yati yawm al-qiyamah wa shiqquhu ma'il." Alright, he will come on the first day, person will be resurrected. On the day of judgment, he will come, one side of his body will be paralyzed. Alright, will be paralyzed. So it's a grievous thing in the Sharia not to do justice between or among women or co-wives. Now, the next hadith is the hadith of Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي أهله قال. The Prophet said, if one of you, whenever he wants to meet with his wife, he wants to have intercourse with his wife, قال, if you will say Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytan wa jannib ash-shaytana ma razaqtana, if you supplicate using this supplication, you say Bismillah in the name of Allah, Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytan, oh Allah, distance the shaytan from us, me and my wife, wa jannib ash-shaytan limma razaqtana, and distance shaytan from whatever you provide for us, as if she will conceive. So for innahu in yuqaddar baynahuma waladun, the Prophet said, verily, if Allah will decree that interval will result to a child, fi dhalika lam yadurruhu shay'a ash-shaytan abadan, then shaytan will not be able to harm such a child. Okay, shaytan will not be able to harm such a child. So this supplication is very, very important for the married people. Okay, no person should meet with his wife without supplicating, using the supplication. Okay, it is very, very important, and this is part and parcel of preparation for the child. I used to quote the statement of a scholar. Somebody once went to a scholar and said, when should I begin to plan how to train my child? At what age do I need to begin to plan how to train this child? And the scholar said to him, you're supposed to start planning for the child even before you marry the woman, the mother of the child. Do you understand? Yes, even before you marry, right, that's when you begin to think about your children, so that you marry a good mother for them. And after the marriage, even before they come into the world, you take steps to ensure that they will be protected from the evils of shaitan, both physical and spiritual attack of the shaitan. Do you understand? So all these are steps that we need to take. So this supplication is very, very important. Is that the last hadith there? I think so. Hadith of Uqba. Okay. The hadith of Uqba bin Amir. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, iyyakum wa dukhula ala nisa. The Prophet said, iyyakum wa dukhula ala nisa. I warn you against entering upon women. Meaning, don't enter upon a woman that is not your mahram, your wife or your mother or your sister. Don't enter the place of a woman that is not your mahram. And that's the problem. I warn you against entering upon women. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. When the Prophet said that, a man among the Ansar said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الْحَمُ. What do you say about the brother-in-law? Al-Hamu is a brother-in-law. Qala, the Prophet said, Al-Hamu al-Mawt. The brother-in-law can bring about death. Wali Muslim, in the narration of Muslim, An Abi Tahir, An Ibn Wahb, Qala, he said, Sami'tu Laytha yaqul, I had Imam Layth saying, Al-Hamu akhu zawj. Imam Layth was trying to define who what Al-Hamu means. So Al-Hamu akhu zawj, it is the brother of the husband. That is a wife's brother-in-law. Okay? وَمَا أَشْبَهَهُ مِنْ أَقَارِبِ الزَّوْجِ, and other similar relatives of the husband. Maybe a woman's husband's cousin, okay, or brother. Okay? All these are Al-Hamu. He said Ibn Am, that's his cousin, وَنَهْوِي, and similar relatives like that. All these people are considered as alhamu to a woman. Now, it is not permissible for them to enter upon the wife of their brother without her being properly covered in her hijab. But today, it's a common practice your brother's wife will come and sit down and you'll be chatting, you'll be discussing, and she'll not be properly dressed. Is that what's happening in our house today? Alright? And this is haram. Alright? It's haram. Your brother, you are not a mahram to your brother's wife. Okay? You're not a mahram to your brother's wife. And that's why Islam prohibits it. That's what the Prophet said. That was Alhamu al-Maut. Meaning brother-in-law can lead to death. Why? Because as it used to happen sometimes, you find out that somebody is sleeping with his brother's wife. So if a woman does that, she has committed adultery, she will be stoned to death, isn't it? The man involved too, if he has been married, then it's also death penalty for him. If he is not married, then it is 100 strokes of the cane. But for her, that she's married, automatic, it's death sentence, stoning to death. So the Prophet is saying that Alhamu can lead to death penalty. And that's why we must abide by the rulings of the Sharia. Okay, we must understand that your brother's wife is not your mahram. Okay, your brother's wife is not your mahram, and so she must be properly dressed whenever she is in your presence. All right, whenever she's your presence. And generally, the beginning of the hadith, إِيَّاكُمْ وَتُقُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Alright, the Sharia does not permit that you and a woman that's not your mahram to be in seclusion. Alright, in another hadith it says, anytime a man and a woman are in seclusion, the third party is who? It's the shaitan. Alright, anything can happen. Okay, and that's why anything that will lead to zina, you're supposed to avoid it. That's why Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Don't go close to it. Allah did not say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Alright, if you say don't commit zina, don't even go close to it. And that's why anything that will lead to it, you see the Sharia blocking it. Because once you are already close, only God can save you. Yes. And that's why Islam attaches a great reward to a person that a woman will present herself to him, having all the opportunity, and he says, no, inni akhafu Allah. Allah. Because of that, Islam says that you will be among those that will be in the shade of Allah on the day of judgment. Because it is not easy. Alright, it is not easy for you to be in a secluded place with a woman. Alright, in fact, in that hadith, al-mar'atu dhatu mansib wa jamal, a woman that is of high position and it's beautiful, she presents herself to you and say, come and do zina. It's not easy to say no. Alright, it's not easy. So, in order not to fall into that trap, avoid being in seclusion with women that are not your mahram. That way you can save yourself from zina, because it is an evil thing. Alright? Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةٌ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It's an evil way. Okay, so we must avoid zina by all means. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Whatever we have said that we tried, may Allah reward us. Whatever we have wrong, may Allah forgive us. May Allah increase us in knowledge. وَسْبَنَكَ اللَّهُمْ بِحَمْدِكِ إِشْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَفِرْكَ بِلَيْكِ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. I'll take a few questions before the salah.
My question goes back to
Now, as it is, alright, since the man cannot perform, ordinarily, if a man is married to a woman and the man now happens to have a problem, a sexually inactive, alright, the Sharia says such a man should be given 1 year, okay, to seek for solution. Some of these problems are curable, okay? So, if the man is given 1 full year to seek solution, if the man gets solution and is able to perform, fine, okay? So long as the man can perform, even if not to the satisfaction of the woman, okay? So long as she can perform, he cannot perform. So if he's able to perform, even if it's one, all right, then she cannot seek divorce and leave that marriage. He can only perform, but he will not be able to satisfy her, really. So she cannot divorce. But if after 1 year, okay, the man is not cured, then Islam will terminate that marriage. Right? And once that marriage is terminated, for this type of woman now, she still cannot go back to her previous husband because the condition for going back has not been fulfilled. She still has to marry another person again, and then after that, she can now go back to the former husband. Allah Allah. Inshallah, there's a chapter on divorce. It will come after marriage. Okay? And like you said, it's a very long discussion. It is the next chapter, inshallah, we're close. Probably the next lecture will be there, inshallah. After marriage is divorced, well, so inshallah we'll get there and I'll explain, inshallah. Now, no. Yes, she can return back the man's dowry and she needs the marriage. Like I said last week, no, Islam has not made marriage a prison for anybody. Alright, Islam has provided ways to end marriage contract. Alright, either from the man's side or from the woman's side. Alright, so she can leave that marriage. But the man has already paid dowry. Alright, so his dowry will be returned back to him and she frees herself from that marriage. After 1 week again.
Just on this week, yeah, we need to talk about it. But later, we see some close from one to the road, we go to the thing in the bus,
now, if he divorced his wife, one, after 1 week, he called her and said, I've divorced you two. After a few days, he called her and said, I've divorced you three. Then she's divorced three. Yes, sir. The one that we said can be converted to one is the one that was done at the same spot. Alright, somebody says to his wife at the same spot and said, I divorce you three. Alright? Or I divorce you three times at the same spot. Alright, this one we can convert it to one. But once there's an interval, alright, then it is three divorce. So it is that pronouncement that the Sharia will consider, not what he later wrote and said, you know. It's what from the moment you say it, you know, divorce is a very serious matter. We discuss about it, inshallah. It's not something for joke, man. All right, you know, as you are sitting down here, if you say my wife is divorced, even if she's not here, she's divorced. She's sitting at home, but she doesn't know. Somebody sit down here. He said, my wife is divorced. All of us are witness to what you are saying. You can have your wife is divorced. Yes. So that's why it's a very serious matter in Nigeria. Alright, the Sharia does not play with it. So we want us to be careful. Now, Imam is
like,
we'll discuss it, inshallah. We'll discuss one company divorce, right? Now. No, it's not a condition. Alright, it's not a condition. Once you divorce her, alright, and she leaves, you get it. While she's doing either and you add, that second one also becomes effective. Alright, it's not a condition that she must finish the either before you give her another one. It's not a condition. It's not a condition at all. No. The Imam is what is committed fornication? fornication is haram. What the Imam is saying is that somebody who commits fornication, and before he fornicates, he is to do this fornication that we mentioned now. Allahumma jadi. Because people are even laughing at you. So, I don't understand. Is it very bad to say that this Adua now will not make the fornication halal for him or what? Fornication is a terrible thing in Islam. It's a terrible thing in Islam. It's something that we must avoid by all means, and we must speak against it. You know anybody that's involved in it, if it's your relative, advise that person to leave it. It's a grievous thing. This supplication will not make the fornication to become halal. Do you understand? This fornication is for married people, not for fornicators or adulterers. Alright? It has a very severe consequence on the day of judgment. In the hadith of the Prophet, when the Prophet had a dream, and two angels were showing him around, they took him on an excursion inside hellfire. They were showing him people, alright, in the hereafter that are being punished. One of those types of people were who? He said, we came by an oven. This kind of oven that is used for baking bread. Have you seen it, Bob? He said, we came by an oven. And when I peeped in, I saw men and women naked inside it. Fire was burning there. They were shouting. In some of the narration of that hadith, he said their bodies were swollen. In some narration, he said their bodies were bringing out fire. He said the flame of the fire will be driving them from the bottom. They will be climbing up the oven till they get to the top. But the top is very clean. Nobody can come out. When the flame goes down, they will drop back. Then the flame will start again. They will begin to climb horribly again till they get to the top. The flame will go down, they will drop back, and that's how they continue burning. And he said, when he asked the angel, who are these people? They said, these are adulterers. These are fornicators and adulterers. Do you understand? So it's a grievous thing. Zina is the cause of sudden death. It brings about sudden death in a community. It brings about diseases in the community. Sometimes we see that you see an outbreak of disease, we don't know what's causing it. It's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is to cause it is fornication and adultery. So it has several evil consequences. And that's why we must avoid it by all means. Allah. No. That was so wrong. Inshallah, in the next class. By then we'll do two or three hadiths now, we'll get to the next. For the fact that she doesn't even give you chance to seek for additional days means that she is saying no additional day. That was me now, I mean. Is it not how you find out from now? What do I tell you? Find out your answer, it's out. Alright? So, you know, when you are married and you have two wives or three, Islam says that you must stay shared number of days. Do you understand? So, while this one, the house is still boiling, you still go there, it's your house. Okay? So you still stay with her for those after the 7 days, since she's not willing to give additional days, all right, you can share it, let's say two days for example. Okay, or 3 days, depending on however you want it. Sharing is not, it's your right. Alright, to decide the number of days I'll be staying at each person's place, but it must be equal days. So you can decide one day, it can be two, it can be three, it can be four, anyhow you decide it. So if you like, since your house is boiling, you can say, okay, I'll be sharing 7 days. So you go into another 7 days, you start with the new wife. Alright, you also have the right to start with the new wife, it's your right, you get it. So that means that if you go and add another 7 days now, it means you are coming back to stay 7 days in this boiling house. that's the implication, you get it. So however you want to share it, you share it. Alright, so you spend 3 days here, you spend 3 days here, or 2 days here, or 2 days here, however you want to do it. You get it. What is required is that you stay in the house, not necessarily sexual intercourse. Alright, that's why even if she's under her period, because she's under her period, I cannot meet with her, I'll go and be staying with my other partner. No, she still has that, you still stay in her place. That's why father, you guys can be no intercourse. You get it. So, she, it's her right. You get it. And you should just give it to her. Walaikum salam. Last question.
I mean.
No.
Old wives, they don't marry the right
of.
No. And things like that, sometimes we use the domestic and of course. It is the same that they know that you are out there married. Sometimes you don't even give them the gift to want to marry. You can go ahead and marry.
Yes.
Outside marriage, I have a service from somewhere for the long marriage, and you see. And people witness that's the reason that you really think that. So, as you have said, you know, the first 6 minutes of faith that I want to give to you now is a lot of my messages in Christmas that maybe you rent another apartment for the new one inside the town. But when you go to the town, you know your plan was left. You come out, you don't go out night and you cannot talk to your face.
There's something wrong. It's not a mother. When you marry two, where you must keep them under the same room. Do you understand? What is the question?
At home. There's no issue of coming together and say that I have 2 days outside and 2 days in. Yes.
Okay, meaning you marry the second wife, and even after the marriage, you don't tell her that you have married. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
No. Like I said, I want to address something similar to this. Like I said, it's not the right of your previous wife that you must tell her when you are marrying a new wife. If she has known that she has, it's not the right. It's good that you tell her to let her know when you are doing the marriage. Do you get it? But if you know that she's troublesome, yes, you can take her by surprise and do the marriage without telling her. But after the marriage, she has to be informed. Yes, you have to inform. Let her know that she is only now entitled to your presence for 2 days. The next 2 days, you are going to be in another person's house. You see, it's very important that she knows, because after the marriage, what if you die? What happens? She will now come out and say the other woman has no right to your inheritance. She is the only one that she knows. Are you not going to be creating problem after your demise? Do you know when you will die?
No. My family members and the rest of my
family know. Yes, she is also entitled to know after that. Alright, she is also entitled to know that this is my co-wife. Do you understand? No matter how the trouble she is going to make, she has to know, because you cannot live with her. If you continue like that, there is no way you can do justice between them. It's not possible that you keep another wife outside without the consent of the previous one, and you are able to do justice between them. It's not possible. Because one way or the other, you will touch the right of one of them in trying to hide one thing or the other from the two of them. Do you understand? And that is why you just, after the marriage, you have to tell her it's necessary to be able to do the justice that is required. Look at this. It is necessary. So she has to know that henceforth, you have another wife. She's not staying here. She's in another apartment. So you do 2 days here. You do 2 days with her. Let her know. Look at this. And it is even better for you to know, because you have children there. How will your children relate with each other? You see, if you do such a thing, when you die, you are going to leave a very big calamity in your family. Yes, you get it? So it is not advisable at all that a man should do such a thing. Because you must find a way of uniting your children, both the children from the second wife and the first wife. Do you understand? So, and that's why it is not advisable that you keep a wife outside for long and your wife at home is not aware. There's no way you can do the justice required by Islam. Allahu Ta'ala Alam.
What would you tell her that you're doing?